times that we're in. Why don't we go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You that You are present in this room, present in this church. And we, again, as I met with the elders this morning, I'm reminded that you're always present with us. It's just a matter of how aware we are of Your presence in our lives. So I pray through Your Word this morning, through our worship this morning, that we become more aware of Your presence in our lives. We know that You have given us the Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us, to remind us, to encourage us. Father, I pray that Your Spirit would speak to us and enlighten the Word. Illuminate the Word to us this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, there was a popular one time, a TV show called The Apprentice. And again, who's the main star of this? The Donald, right? The Donald Trump. Okay. And the show is still on. And of course, I don't know, I'm sure not too many of you watch this show, but because it's the way it works is where Donald Trump, he takes some young professionals and he breaks them into teams, gives them various kind of either sales objectives that they're supposed to do or something like that that they're supposed to meet. And at the end, of course, every show, there's one person who, you know, didn't quite live up to the performance or didn't perform very well. And so, of course, at the end of every show, Donald Trump looks him in the eye and says, "You're fired," right? Okay. And then eventually, towards the end of the season of the show, there's two left, and eventually they kind of bring the teams back and they kind of oversee a project, and whoever basically raises the more money basically wins. And in the end, Donald takes the last person who has performed the best and says, "Hey, not you're fired, but you're hired." And he hires the person and he gives them a salary, and basically the person, what they win, or what they've earned, I guess, is that they get to work under Donald Trump. And so Sarah and I watched a show like this was several seasons back, and we got into this the first season. And so the winner of the first season was this guy named Bill Rancic, okay? And so he was hired on by the Donald to kind of oversee a building project. You know, Donald Trump, of course, is into realty. And so he was to oversee a building project that Donald was doing in Chicago, okay? So his job was basically to tear down this building, all right? And this was the old, dilapidated, now defunct Chicago Sun-Times building. And he was to begin to construct a new one, okay? So this is what it once looked like before it was torn down. Same picture, same place. This is where it's now being constructed. Okay? He's constructing a new one. And in the past few weeks, in our big series, in our big story, God's big story, we have learned that the kind of similar to this, that something has been God's kingdom. Jesus is coming, His kingdom has been inaugurated. It has been started. It has been put under construction, if you will. And with the coming of Jesus, the old has passed, you know. The old covenant, the old promise that they were operating under, is kind of, there's been something new offered, what we just kind of remembered. The new covenant was in place by Christ. And so, the new covenant ensured that life and forgiveness and a renewed heart could be found in Christ Jesus. Okay? So, but, just like the Trump International, this is Trump's Tower, they call it now the Trump International Hotel and Tower in Chicago, has begun, it's not completed yet, right? It's under construction. Okay? And so, God's kingdom is also under construction. God's kingdom is both now, it is being built up, as we also are kind of under construction. We are both now, as well as it is not yet. So when people walk by this building, they already call it Trump's it's not God's building. It's Trump's, okay? Trump's Tower, okay? Trump's International Hotel. When they walk past this building, they already see what it's going to be, even though it's not completed yet. All right? And similarly, we are also God's kingdom, for one. We talked about there's going to be a new king, being Christ. And we talked about a place. There won't be necessarily a place that we can look at and see. Jesus said, look, you won't be able to say it's here or there, okay? But it's almost like God's reign, heaven, is kind of being brought down to earth so we can kind of get a glimpse of what heaven will be like. So in a similar way, we are started now, God's kingdom, but we are not yet. So I want to... Let me give you an example of how we can see how we are now. Okay, God's kingdom is now. Or in you, you can experience, we are experiencing God's reign now. So for example, when you, brothers and sisters, when you experience the fellowship, okay, and we use that term mainly to describe Saturday nights. You know, we talk about fellowship. We come to fellowship on Saturday nights, and the Greek word is koinonia, fellowship. Normally, we think of fellowship as like, okay, fellowship is an event that happens on Saturday nights. But if we look at fellowship in the true sense, okay, when we're able to kind of take down our masks that we sometimes wear with each other and be real with each other, be vulnerable, be transparent, when we are in a position where we are encouraging one another and where we're supporting one another, we're accepting one another for who we are, and we experience like this kind of fellowship or friendship that can only come like in Christ Jesus, you know, where you're really feeling this community that we share. That is one example of how we can experience God's reign in our lives now. I don't know, maybe you've experienced this at certain times in your life when you connect with another brother or sister, when you have a heart-to-heart with them, when they pray for you or you pray for them, and you experience like, man, this is like an amazing true fellowship. One passage in the Bible even says that fellowship is like oil, and this is Old Testament talking, oil which is poured onto your head and runs down and drips down your beard. And this is, again, Old Testament imagery. But it's this kind of rich feeling of, wow, like, this is different than just normal friendships that I have. This is something a little bit deeper. Something a little bit more special. Something a little bit more amazing. You are experiencing God's reign in your life. A portion, a piece, a foretaste of heaven right now. Or, for example, as it's not just within our four walls that we can see this. This past week, we get Christianity Today, the magazine, and every once in a while I'll get the time to read through an article. And I was able to read an article that is called Rescue in the Red Light District. And it's basically an article about how there are believers, there are Christians who are going out around the world into the nations and saving young girls, I mean, and children, really, from child prostitution. They're going in and they're ministering to the women and the children, and they are saving them one by one. They're doing God's work one by one, and some of them are responding. God is using these Christians who have gone out into these nations, and some are responding. And people are, there are children and women who are coming out of a life of prostitution where they are kind of trapped. Remember how last week I said that there was kind of a chain that kind of connected you to your past sin? They're kind of trapped in the lifestyle, both economically and both just in their sin. Just trapped. But God is freeing them, and God is using these Christians to free them, and they're getting a taste of what is now. God's kingdom is now. Or I read on ABC.com, kind of try to keep up with news, how there are some Christians who are reaching out to those who are in the pornography industry, those who are men and women who live a lifestyle of being in these pornographic films. And people are going out and reaching out, going where they are at to kind of restore them from the lies and the trap that comes from pornography. And again, there was a story of a woman who was once in these films and then moved to prostitution. And now she has come out. She has forsaken being in these films. She's forsaken being a prostitute. And now she's experiencing, for the first time in her life, God's reign, God's living inside of her. She's experienced a portion of heaven here on earth. But of course, on the other hand, we're not yet. Just like this building, who we know that this building is only what? This looks like it's only what? Maybe, I don't know, 10 floors? It's not complete yet. And we can see the scaffolding, we can see things around it. It is certainly far from completion. And so in the same way, we also are far from completion. As we look around, when you see brothers and sisters, okay, when you see your friends maybe in OCCYG, or when you see those in our church, or even those outside of our church, Christians who are not exuding Christian, maybe Christ-like values, or Christ-like behavior, or Christ-like attitudes. Maybe you see it sometimes in your parents. Maybe you see it many times in yourself. We know that, hey, when we see this, we also understand that we're not finished. And as we turn on the evening news, or we look at the news on the webs, on the website, we know that God's kingdom isn't finished as well. Okay? And so, again, God took us, He moved us from, when Christ came, moved us from the past to where we're under construction. But on the day that Christ returns, as we think about being under construction, this ought to have an effect on our hearts, okay? As we see each other, and as we see ourselves and the world, really. In Philippians 1:6, Paul reminds us this. He says, "And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue His work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ returns." So he's saying, "Hey, you know what? God has begun something, a kingdom. He's begun to build a kingdom. He's also begun something in you. Something is changing in you. God has begun a work. When Christ returned, He started something. But it's not yet complete. But He said, I am confident, I am certain that whatever God started in you, He's going to continue the work until it's finally finished on the day that Christ returns." And so knowing that you and I are not complete, that we are not done, that God is not done with us yet, this should have an effect on how we treat one another. How I see you and how you see me, and how you see your parents and how parents see their kids. All right, this should have a profound effect on how we see people and how we interact with people. Okay? Paul goes on to say this in Ephesians. He says, "Look, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love." So acknowledging and knowing that, hey, that we're still right here. When you look at someone, when you see another brother or sister who you see faults in them, you see where they fall short of God's perfect standard, you got to remember that this person still has begun. God's begun a work in them, but they're not done. They're not done yet. And this doesn't mean that we need to excuse people's sin. You know, it doesn't mean we kind of brush over their sin or look away from their sin. All it means is that we understand that God is still working on this person. The Holy Spirit is still forming this person's character. And so when you see that your brother or sister, when you see that your friends, your mom and dad, or other Christians, you see, hey, boy, that kind of looks ugly. We got to remember that it's ugly because we kind of sometimes slip back into our old nature. There's times when we slip back to the way we once were instead of how we are now. Okay? How we are now. So real quickly, here's another way of looking at it. Here's how the building will look like, okay? This is what it once looked like, okay? Before anything was started. This is how it is under construction. And this is the building, and this is just a projection. It's not actually standing. This is not what it looks like in Chicago now, but this is what it'll look like when it's completed. And so, on the day that Christ returns, God's kingdom will be fully realized. Just like how this building is completed, it's beautiful, it's fully realized, and in a sense, it's like what it was supposed to look like. When Christ returns, just like the Trump Tower will be fully realized in 2009, we, as a people, God's kingdom will be fully realized. All right? So here's another look of how it is, all right? Here is here's another way of looking at it, just a kind of a diagram for you to kind of ponder. This first circle is like the present age, okay? And over here you might have like the patriarchs, and you've got the prophets, and then boom, the first coming, Jesus Christ comes, and from the space from here, from this line to this line, is that construction part. That's where we're at right now. We're like somewhere in here, okay? So God's kingdom, again, is, if you have that picture of your head of a under construction, this is where we're at. The second coming is where the kingdom will be fully realized, and we'll completely be caught up both to kind of like where we're supposed to be, what we're supposed to look like in Christ. We'll be fully caught up, and we'll reflect fully like His holiness, you know, His character. We'll be just like Christ, okay, when He returns. No matter where we're at, you know, we may be a far cry from that perfection, but when He returns, we'll be fully realized. And so basically, and then there's the age to come, and this is basically eternity, all right? So, we're in a section called the last days, okay? The last days. And in 2 Timothy 3:1, they talk about the last days, okay? And this is the kind of the intersection between the present age and the age to come, all right? And so when you think of last days, I think I shared with you this, shared with you briefly about this. I've got a poster in my office that says, it's on the bottom of it, it's produced or put out by the Last Days Ministry. Okay, that's what it's referring to. This section here. And you think of Last Days, I usually think of like Thursday and Friday. You know, you think of like the last days of the week, something like that. Or maybe you think like the last days of school. You know, so you maybe think of like Brady, like, hey, this section is called the last days. It's been like 2,000 years, and I haven't seen it in the last days. Like, this is a long time for us to wait for Christ's return. Okay, so you might want to say like, hey, is God's story stuck here someplace? Because we've been waiting a long time. All right. Well, first I want to give you a reminder, and I also want to give you an encouragement in this. First, the reminder is that Peter predicts that that there'll be skeptics of Jesus' return, okay? So when we think about, hey, this has been 2,000 years we've been waiting, and is this ever going to happen? Peter says, there's going to be people that say, hey, I haven't seen Christ yet, and it's been 2,000 years, is He ever going to come back? But he says this, most importantly, I want to remind you that in the last days, scoffers will come mocking the truth and following their own desires. They will say, what happened to the promise that Jesus is coming again? Okay? So, you could say, like, man, it is a long time. And people will say, like, I don't know if Jesus is returning. And sometimes we may feel like that. We don't really need to live our lives in light of the fact that He's returning. But it does encourage us as well. He says, but you must not forget one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years like a day. The Lord isn't really being slow about His promise, as some people think. No, He is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. Okay? So you remember even back in the Old Testament, when we've been studying through God's story, how there was the promise for Abraham of God's land, God's blessing, God's, and He was going to create a lot of people. And the people went into Egypt, and they saw their population exploded. There was a lot of people. But how long did it take for God to give the promise of land and blessing? It took 400 years. And people were saying, I imagine again that people were saying, like, hey, where is the land that you promised us to our father Abraham? Okay? So it took 400 years. So we got to think that God has a different perspective when it comes to time. Okay? Again, a day is like 1,000 years. So it is not like 2,000 years for God may seem, in His perspective, very different than from our perspective. In addition, not only that He gives us an encouragement, but that time is not like it is for the Lord as it is for us. He has purpose for this time delay. Okay, He's got purpose for this time delay. The Lord in 2 Peter 3:9. It says, the Lord isn't really being slow about His promise, as some think. No, He's just being patient for your sake. He is being patient for your sake. He doesn't want anyone to be destroyed, but everyone to come to repentance. So He is basically waiting. The Father is deliberately delayed the return of the Lord so that more people have a chance to hear the gospel before He returns. Okay? Our Lord desires to bring glory to Himself, okay? He desires to bring glory to Himself. That's like what the purpose is to bring honor and glory to Himself. And so, He values people, and He values a relationship with people, so that the more people that are coming to relationship with Him, the more glory that is brought to Him. So He is kind of waiting for those who will come to them, who will eventually come to Him, before He returns, okay? So that is, there's a purpose for this delay, this 2,000-year delay. All right? And the cool thing is that He wants us to be part of this plan, all right? He wants us to be part of His plan to bring His kingdom to be fully realized by us, His followers, to take part in His work. Okay. So, there's a delay, and He's got a purpose for it, and He now invites us and says, hey, but I want you, during this time of before Christ returns, I want you to be a part of this plan, to be part of this game plan that to bring others to Me, okay? To bring others into a relationship with Me. And here's what He does is he lays out before He ascends into heaven, He kind of lays this out before His disciples. He says this, and yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed, and I put this in this message would be proclaimed. I put this in red, in the authority of His name to all the nations, beginning with Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. You are witnesses of these things. Now I will send the Holy Spirit just as My Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. Okay, Luke 24. So again, just before Jesus ascended in heaven, He tells His disciples of a command and a promise. Okay, a command and a promise. And we kind of see the command there. This message would be proclaimed that, hey, I'm inviting you to take part in this delay to bring people to Me. But I'm not only going to invite you to be a part of it, I'm also going to empower you to do it. And He gives us, He sends to us the Holy Spirit as well. So what we're going to be doing as we kind of look at this message or this command of Jesus saying that it's to be invited to part of my plan. I want you to proclaim to the whole nations. Next week we're going to be looking at the Holy Spirit, basically. As we continue in this story, we're going to be looking at how the Spirit empowers us, what the Holy Spirit's role is to empower us to carry out this message. Okay? So why don't we close in prayer this morning? And then we can respond in song. Father, we thank you that we can see through your word the wholeness of your plan. That we can see that we are under construction, that we are not yet finished, and you are not yet finished with your kingdom. Lord, I pray that as we understand this and as we have a realization that hey, your kingdom is already now, but not yet, that we would see people in this way, that we'd see Christians who, you know, that we're all still being formed. We're not yet finished. So, Father, I pray that just like Paul commended us to do, that we would show grace to one another. That we would be patient with one another as you are patient with us. Father, I also pray that as we begin to think about how we can take part, jump into your greater plan, your grand epic, Lord, I pray that you would show us how we fit in this. Show us how what we're supposed to do. Even if it's part of inviting people to OCCYG, if it's part of being salt and light to people so that they would be thirsty to come to know you, show us what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to be in order to proclaim the good news. Father, we thank you for your Spirit, and Lord, we look forward to hearing how your Spirit empowers us to carry out your plan. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.